Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Carman Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com joins us, and Chip will be with us on Thursdays at 8:05, and certainly looking forward to that throughout the season. Chip, good morning. How are you, my man?
I'm fantastic. Great to talk to you on a Thursday, Dave. I'm eager to find out how different this might go.
As we may be looking for, I mean, I guess, as you and I were talking on the phone, this will turn into maybe more of a look forward to the next game kind of thing during the season, more than rehash the previous game. And I think more and more coaches shows, and Kirby does this on Thursday nights, you have more and more coaches shows on Thursdays maybe than earlier in the week to give the fans a little bit of a chance to simmer down from what happened the week before. Like where Coach Rick used to do his show on, what, Monday nights. A lot of people are still, you know, they're still wound up. But maybe by Thursday, you're already looking ahead to the next game.
Exactly. And, you know, it's that's been much, much easier these certainly last year under Kirby Smart. And I anticipate it being pretty good this year, looking forward to the opponents and not having to look back at many defeats for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's the thing. Not that there were a lot of, you know, games that you had to look like 2016 would have been a lot different, obviously, than 2017 was. But, yeah, looking ahead, moving forward, that kind of thing. Well, how has practice been this week so far for the Dogs? And I wanted you to also, because I know Kirby talked about Tyreek McGee, and then he also threw out a couple of other things as well yesterday.
Yeah, no, you know, it was good. Practice 11 yesterday, so, you know, they're not quite halfway through. You have as many as 28 practice opportunities in the preseason, and Georgia's got 11 of them. I don't think they'll use all 28. If you think about it, they started their first practice was on August 2nd. So if you did all 28 practices, you'd practice almost every day all the way up until the first game. And is hard and tough as he is, Kirby does give him some off days now and then. And they went inside, speaking of that, you know, into the to the House of Pain, as we like to call it now.
I love that.
What a perfect, you know, it's great. You know, as soon as it happened, we started bantering about the House of Pain, and it's just great that the Bulldogs have adopted that. But Kirby likes to do that every 4 or 5 days, just to get them out of the heat. You know, 100 degrees basically on that turf field every time they're out there, and so they had a good practice. The Tyreek McGee thing now I think is really, really interesting because I don't know if I'm different than a lot of people, but I thought that was a big deal when he went out. And actually, Mike Griffith and I go back and forth about Tyreek McGee, starter or not, you know. And, I mean, I think, you know, out of all those guys in the backfield, not named DeAndre Baker or J.R. Reed, you know, that's the guy that's got probably the most experience back there in the back end. He didn't start a lot, but he started a little when Malcolm Parrish was out, and actually toward the end of the year, it could be argued that he was playing better than Malcolm Parrish. I know there's a lot of people from that national championship game, that wish Tyreek McGee might have been on the field right there at the end rather than Malcolm Parrish. That guy's got a lot of experience, can play a lot of different positions, got a broken foot, fifth metatarsal, you know, foot, toe, whatever it is. That's not good for a defensive back. But Kirby says last night that there's a good chance that he can actually come back before then, that he played with a similar injury last year. And I guess that's good news overall. The important thing would be if he'd be ready for South Carolina rather than Austin Peay necessarily. But that defensive backfield, you know, it's interesting. There's such a remake back there, but there really is a lot of players in the defensive backfield. Kirby even talked about it yesterday that they're being 16, I think, four deep at all the positions in the defensive backfield right now. So you have a lot to choose from, but certainly Tyreek McGee brings that most important factor to any position that he's playing on the field, and that's experience.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Chip, we've seen how the quarterback competition has gone over at Alabama, and, you know, we're kind of used to this now from last season with the Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm battle, you know, in camp, and Eason is named the starter, and we all know what happened after that. But this is kind of part two for Georgia here with Fields and Fromm. But over at Alabama, you know, we've seen that Jalen Hurts has come out pretty vocally, I guess, against what has gone on there in terms of him not really being communicated with. We've heard from Hurts' father as well. But over here at Georgia, you know, Pablo Fields was talking to ESPN the other day and had some things to say about it. Didn't really, you know, say anything earth-shattering or anything, but did mention that playing the best quarterback, sometimes there's blowback if it's an unseen commodity. So obviously he wants his son to play, and we've seen Jim Chaney saying that you don't rule things out when it comes to maybe having a two-quarterback system. So what do you make of, I don't know, maybe the way that Alabama's kind of handled it, or lack thereof in terms of handling it, just kind of ignoring it and ignoring their player, and Georgia, which seems to have much more of a hands-on approach to this?
Well, I think the chief difference in the two situations is you're talking about Alabama in year two and Georgia in year one. And you know, this could, we would have the same situation with Georgia right now if Jacob Eason hadn't taken the bus back to Seattle, right? I mean, you know, he still would be considered a formidable player. But Jacob Eason saw the writing on the wall. I mean, he saw how well Jake Fromm played last year. And this is where, guys, I'm a little bit cynical on this. You know, I guess old cynical reporter here. You know, I hear Kirby, and I get it. You know, and competition is important, and I buy into it. There's competition in every position, and I've been on your show, you know, during this camp, saying that Justin Fields has to get ready to play, and Justin Fields has to be as good as he can possibly be for it, for the instances that he does play in, and certainly in the case of injury. But everything I've heard about Jake Fromm, never mind that he took over 900 snaps as the starting quarterback last year. And last time I checked, there were some pretty significant games, you know, Notre Dame on the road, SEC championship game, you know, college football playoffs. And he handled himself pretty well in those situations. And in fact, depending on who you're talking about, who you're talking to about it, he handled himself excellently. Fast forward to now, and then everybody, you know, we're getting to that point in camp where it's, well, how the quarterback's looking, how the quarterback, every time you talk to somebody, you know. So the latest one, you know, Jason Stanley comes up, and we talk to him, and he just, you know, profusely praises Jake Fromm. He says, you know, I guess there's always room for improvement. And he said, I didn't think there was any room for improvement for Jake Fromm, but he's improving, and I'm eager to find out, you know, what that looks like. And same thing from Kirby last night. You know, he was asked about how Jake Fromm's looking, and he just raved about how much better he's looked. He's more comfortable, he said. You know, he has more imagination, really good command to the huddle, great presence, good presence, knows the offense even better than he did last year. You know, it's just, you know, you're not going to change my mind about Jake Fromm. My mind, I mean, I'm just saying the coach is in 28 practices and 3 scrimmages. You're just not. So I just don't see it as quite the competition as Kirby would like everybody to think. But that said, you know, there is an urgency about getting Justin Fields ready. And once we get into the season and they start playing, and you know, both of them start getting closer on equal footing as far as command of the offense, then we'll see. But I just, you know, I just don't see how Justin Fields could be the better option at this point. Now, that said, everything that happened, you know, I didn't think it was that big of a deal what Pablo Fields said about Saban's move to Tua. I mean, it was that or nothing. You know, I mean, Jalen Hurts wasn't getting it done. That move ultimately won them the national championship, and hey, that may happen for Georgia, you know, at some point this year, that Jake's just not getting it done, you know, his arm's sore, or he's having a bad day, he's having an off day. If you remember back to DJ Shockley and David Green here, a lot of people forgot, but when I was researching this earlier this year, there were a couple of games where David Green didn't have it, and DJ Shockley came in and kind of won the day early on. I'm trying to remember, maybe it was Clemson early, maybe that second season, 2003 or so, whatever year it was, DJ comes in, and David Green was just off that day. David Green today will still say, yeah, I was just having a bad day, and DJ came in and saved the day. That's what you're looking for Justin Fields. Now, next year, you may have the very same kind of controversies heading into the season because they're going to be on equal footing when it comes to a mastery of the offense standpoint.
Chip Towers joining us from the AJC's DogNation.com. Give us your thoughts on the running back situation, not necessarily DeAndre Swift, but what you're hearing about Zamir White, and also it sounds like Elijah Holyfield's having a really good preseason camp.
Yeah, I really like Elijah Holyfield. It's just I think it may be out there. I'm not 100% sure, but I know I've seen a lot of highlights from Holyfield, but I think there may be a highlight reel like on YouTube of Holyfield last season. And yes, most of the time he's coming in the fourth quarter, and kind of mop up duty. Georgia had a lot of kind of blowouts last year, but my goodness, that kid, he moves piles. He has a really good shimmy and change of direction right at the line of scrimmage. He's got better speed. Remember the Notre Dame kickoff return last year? That was the first time I went, whoa, look at that guy go. He is just rock solid, as everybody can see from every photo that's posted of him everywhere. Dude's got some guns. I think he's way underplayed in this whole scenario. And, hey, he may start. He may get the first snap, at tailback this year. He's an upperclassman. He's waited his time. If you look in practice, and you can't read too much into this, but he generally gets the first rep with that group. And, I didn't hear, Kirby didn't talk about it, but Coach Dooley was at the scrimmage. He was talking about, good Lord, those running backs, they look really, really good. Zamir White, I'll have a piece on him coming out on Dog Nation here pretty soon. I've got a series going there, Georgia's Own Credit Union, and these are the 20 most important people toward Georgia owning the East. Georgia's Own Credit Union own the East. And I can't remember what number Justin is, maybe number 11 or something like that. Zamir. And Zamir is, he could have played for Georgia if the first game was on August 1st. As it turns out, the first game is on September 1st. And right now he's still bothered by that cumbersome steel brace they're making him wear on his right knee. But based on everything I've seen, he might not even need it. I'm sure he's going to try to beg out of it as soon as he can and just wear a sleeve. I don't know if they'll let him do that in the first game or not. But, Georgia is loaded at running back, and they're still going to run the football and be a run-first team. I do think they're going to pass more, but just based on what I'm seeing from that talented group, you're going to have to give them the ball at least half the time.
Talking with Chip Towers.
Chip, one thing with this team now that Demetrius Robertson has been declared eligible for this season is the fact that they have depth at the wide receiver position and guys that have been very good for this team. Riley Ridley, you also have Terry Godwin, Mecole Hardman. I mentioned Demetrius Robertson. Do you think, I know that Georgia's a run-first team, 70-30 split last season. They were up big in a lot of games, so that's probably why that skewed even further towards the run. But do you think Jim Chaney, who has had guys like Drew Brees in the past, is going to be tempted to spread it out a little bit?
No, I do. And this kind of gets back to Jake Fromm as much as it does to that wide receiver core. I've liked Georgia's wide receivers before you added Demetrius Robertson to the group, and obviously that makes them that much better. And there's a lot of players. So here's a couple of things that are different under Kirby Smart. He just keeps the roster maxed out, right? It's always 85, right? Or right there at it. And if it's not, he's going to go get somebody somewhere. And so there's a lot of defensive backs where Georgia's got a lot of competition going. And there's a ton of wide receivers, and the daily competition between these guys and this Pascal and everything is pretty intense. They really go at it. And Kirby saying a lot yesterday, he kind of went on a rant about five stars and all that kind of stuff. That's his thing. He's pushing back on the narrative about all the five stars that Georgia has on the roster. But the fact of the matter is, they have a lot of talented guys there, and you need to feed them, right? You got to. Mecole Hardman needs the football. Akil Crumpton, y'all, nobody's talking about him. That dude, I mean, he's really impressed me. I think if there's an under the radar guy, look at Akil Crumpton in year two, because he's really advanced in terms of understanding the playbook and the pass routes and that kind of stuff. Terry Godwin's hurt right now, which may be kind of the biggest under the radar kind of thing. You know, Kirby's still saying it's not that bad of a deal, but he hadn't practiced the entire camp, and that's starting to be a concern. But Riley Ridley and on, and now you add Demetrius Robertson to the situation. Back to Jake Fromm. This is what Jake Fromm did. You know, people forget, at Houston County, all they did was throw the football. That's all they did. Four wide, five wide, in the shotgun, him checking off the plays, receivers adjusting their routes based on pass coverage, a very advanced system at Houston County, and you got that here. So they're going to have to get the ball to those running backs, there's no question, and you got to take advantage of this big, strong line that you've developed here. But I also think you've got to spread that ball around, tight ends, wide receiver, backs out of the backfield. Georgia's got a lot of options on offense. I know Jim Chaney and James Coley are really exciting, licking their chops and getting ready to go on this thing.
Before we let you go, it sounds like, and I'm completely switching gears away from Georgia, although there is a connection here, but Maryland's got some kind of stuff going on tomorrow where they may be getting rid of their president and Damon and maybe even their head coach, DJ Durkin. That's just crazy. How, that story itself is terrible, but there's Damon in the middle of it again, and it's just weird, this whole thing in college football right now, what's going on with a lot of these schools. And you know Damon, and a lot of folks listening to us know him as well, and it's just crazy how all this stuff has kind of rolled back to him again. And I was just kind of wondering what you were thinking on all of that.
Yeah, I really do feel bad for Damon Evans, and I know there's not a lot of love lost, certainly among the passionate Georgia fan base when it comes to Damon Evans, because everything that happened to him here. But if you root for human beings and for the human condition, I was glad to see him. He has really climbed back, to the top, back to the position, and there was a reason he got anointed an athletic director at such a young age when he was at Georgia. He's only 48 now. And, I don't know what he knew or didn't know about Jordan McNair and what was going on with football training. I've been impressed with the way that president has handled it and kind of just stepped up and owned it, at every public outcry on this thing. He said, hey, we should have done a better job. And I would imagine Damon's going to do that too. But I feel bad about it. And look, this is the age that we live in. Whether it's the Me Too generation and what's going on with Ohio State and all that, or this the days of Texas A&M and training somebody so hard that they pass out and you don't give them water and that kind of stuff. And then what? I don't know the details of what happened in Jordan McNair's death, but I know that there's definitely some culpability on the part of the University of Maryland, and I think they're handling it, in terms of an institution, just about as well as you possibly can. But I feel bad for Damon being in the middle of it. We'll find out when it's all said and done what he knew or didn't know about the whole situation.
Chip, always great talking to you, my man. Appreciate it, and look forward to Thursday mornings with you during the fall.
Yeah, me too. Next Thursday, buddy. See you then.
All right, Chip Towers from the AJC's. DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.